Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today is David Holly. This is our 90-minute end of the January transfer window special. During the show, we'll talk about all the loan moves made by the club and also the latest speculation. We will, however, just start with a move that was just made by the team. A player is leaving the club. We'll discuss that to start off, but we have much to get through. But before we do anything, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. David, how you doing?
Good evening. A late night for me here. I had to run it by the statistics man whether I'd be able to stay up this late, but they gave me the green light. There was no red flag, so I'll be with you for the full period, hopefully, if my house doesn't blow away, because we've got a massive gale going on outside at the moment. But looking forward to going through this, and just maybe we might get a live signing or departure while we're on air.
Listen, it's possible that could happen, David. And it's funny that you mentioned that article in the Telegraph. We will try to get to that. If not, we're going to do a full show regardless on that article. Mike Gregg is away on holiday. I want to include Mike in that show, but we will do a complete show about that Telegraph article. We could touch on it during the show today, but we will do a complete Cottage Talk episode on that article. It's fascinating, and we have much to discuss with that. But David, let's start here. Let's talk about a departure from Fulham. This just hit the website, I want to say, about a half hour ago. Again, this is on the Fulham website. We can confirm that Kai Voser's contract with Fulham Football Club has been terminated by mutual consent. Voser joined the Whites in the summer of 2014 and went on to make 13 appearances for the first team. Everyone at Fulham would like to thank Kai for his efforts and wishes for the best of luck in the future. Again, that's right on the Fulham website, and I believe that happened about a half hour ago. David, what are your thoughts about this news about the departure of Kai Voser?
Well, it's not a big surprise for any of us, really. I think the surprise, to be honest with you, is more that he stayed as long as he did, because I think pretty early on, most of us who saw him play realised that he didn't seem to be up to the standard required. And so, you know, he's been forced just to be a real reserve, you know. He's someone who's, you know, kept out of the team by Jazz Richards, that says it all, perhaps. But maybe we could say the same about Fredericks, though, but that's a different story, obviously. But, yeah, he's been a bit part player. He's come in occasionally if there's been injuries. But he just didn't seem to have the strength that was needed for this kind of league. You know, he was pretty lightweight as a defender. He was prepared to get forward, but just didn't cut the ice for me. I think me and Mike Gregg both sort of were pretty damning on him from an early stage. So I would say it's not a big surprise, really. Unfortunately, he is, you know, one of Felix's signings, one of several who perhaps, you know, weren't really up to it. And I think it's time for, you know, a clean sweep for quite a few people, and he's one of them. And I'm quite surprised if we don't see anyone else go, actually, between now and in the next hour anyway.
Well, it could happen. This could just be the first, but we will see, and we'll be following that. And, David, you'll keep me updated via Skype if we have anything. And I've obviously got all of TweetDeck open, so I'll be checking on Twitter as well to see if we have any updates. And so he might not be the only one. He is the only one right now of recent nature to depart the club. And, David, the line that you just said basically says it all. He didn't fit the league. He just didn't fit the league. He was too slight. He wasn't big enough for the league. Wasn't physical enough, and it just didn't work. So it was surprising to me that he was still with the club as long as he was. So I wish him the best of luck, and in the future, like the club did, and hope he has a very good career moving forward. But both sides are departing, and I think that's the right move. All right, David, let's start with the signings. Again, we will talk a good amount of transfer speculation, but let's start with the signs. Let's talk about the one that happened on Friday, and I apologize if I'm saying his name wrong, but again, this is on the Fulham website. It says Maddle arrives on loan. The club is delighted to confirm the signing of Michael Maddle on loan from Sturm Graz until the end of the season, with an option to make the deal permanent. A center back who can also operate in midfield, the 27-year-old came through the youth ranks of Austria Vienna and made a number of appearances for the first team before joining Wiener Neustadt in 2010. Maddle has been with Sturm Graz since 2012. and was their captain prior to making the move to Fulham. He was also involved in the Austrian national team squads during their successful qualification campaign for the upcoming European Championship. Speaking from the club's training ground on Thursday, he said, "I'm very, very happy to be here and to play for a club like Fulham with so much history and great fans. I'll give my best to help the team. For me, it was an easy decision to get the chance to play for Fulham in the Championship. Will maybe only come to you in your life. Come once in your life. So for me, it was a dream come true." And again, that is right from the Fulham website, the signing of Michael Mottl, which happened on Friday. I just want to mention just some information about him, because I went to Transfer Market to see what his market value, and they had his market value at 1 million euros. So that's it. It's just a little interesting fact there about Michael Mottl. Again, that's according to Transfer Market, just where they see his market value being. All right, David, what are your thoughts about this loan signing for Fulham, a center back?
Well, I'd like to see them in action. So if you tell me this guy's fantastic, or if you tell me he's crap, I'm going to still want to see him myself before I kind of make a judgment. But obviously the main thing that I picked out from it, as I said to you already, was that he seems a bit short for a centre-back. That's actually almost a Star Wars quote, isn't it? You seem a bit short for a stormtrooper, if you remember that one. But yeah, he's a bit short for a centre-back. So he's sort of 5'11"-ish, which, you know, the concern we've had is that a lot of the teams in this league, and you look at Hull, for example, last week, you know, they're a big, strong team, and we seem to find a lot of big, strong teams in this division, and we're not particularly big and strong. I know we have people like Dan Burn and Matt Smith, but apart from that, we seem to be a bit on the short side. So I was quite surprised that, you know, he's going to be the answer in defence, and I hope to be proved wrong, let's say, by the fact that he turns out to be a dominating ball-playing centre-back and that his height is not an issue at all. And we have seen people. I mean, I remember Paul Parker, who was 5'6" playing centre-back, and he had a great leap on him, and he seemed to do really well. So the height isn't absolutely everything. Obviously, you mentioned to me you thought he may be there as a defensive midfielder, but I'm going to tend
possibly
to discount that now because of who else we've signed today.
Sure.
So let's assume that he is going to be signed as a centre-back. I need to see that he's going to be dominating and the answer to what we've been missing. Because, you know, we have all these bit-part centre-backs, don't we? We have guys who, you know, we've had like Tim Ream, who's quite good on the ground but a bit suspect in the air. And we've got guys who've been better in the air, and like me, like Dan Burn, who lacks a bit of pace, perhaps, but is a bit better in the air. And we need that kind of that fit all, really, a guy who can do it all. We don't need to play 15 centre-backs to get the virtues of two there. Because obviously we've been saying let's play three centre-backs, because that kind of papers over the cracks as well as fitting a system that seems to do well. But if we're going to be playing two centre-backs, we'll be playing four at the back. We really need two centre-backs who can do a good job all around. So let's see. You know, I'm sure he's going to be getting into the team, as will other signings. I don't think they're being brought in just to be bench warmers in the long run. I think they're going to be in the team pretty soon. So let's get him in the team and let's see what he does, because he's been a star in Austria, but that league isn't particularly strong. I would sort of almost say that the Championship is one of the strongest leagues in Europe. Obviously, it's not as strong as the Premier League. It's nowhere near as strong as the Premier League. And of course, in Spain and in Germany, we have some pretty good teams, as we do in perhaps Italy. But I don't know about Austria. You know, look at Scottish League, for example. Apart from a couple of teams, I think most of the teams in Scotland, no disrespect to them, would struggle in the Championship. And I'm sure that's the same in a lot of countries. So, you know, he seems to be a bit of a star in Austria, but that doesn't necessarily mean he'll be a star in England. We've seen it with other people. You know, people like Brian Ruiz did very well in Holland, didn't really ever quite cut it in Britain. And it's the same with lots of people at lots of clubs. So let's hope that he's going to be a great signing and be what we need. But let's not get too overambitious at this stage until we've actually seen him play and see how he fits into the team. He's just one part of a jigsaw, and that's a changing jigsaw at the moment, isn't it? And so there's going to be a few new faces in there. So it's going to be, you know, interesting times when Slav's kind of new team is unveiled, perhaps next Saturday.
I agree. David. And listen, let's just give this guy a chance. And what's interesting, before the move happened and after the move happened, someone that we've had on the show, Raphael Geller, for the BBC in Israel, for some reason watches a good amount of Austrian football and had great things to say, and he said that the Fulham supporters would be happy with this move once they saw him play. So I'm going to give him a chance, and sounds like you're going to give him a chance as well. And I believe I read that he's good in the air, even though he's not that tall, David. So we'll see. You know, let's give him a chance. But it's a good point by you. Many players that come from other leagues don't work out in English football. The Championship is a tough league. Let's see if he can work out, and hopefully he will. Because I believe we do need help at center back, and maybe he'll be helped there. All right, David, let's move on. And I'm going to tell you right now, as of the end of the transfer window, this is actually my favorite move so far of the transfer window, and it's Rohan Ince. And it's not a sexy move, I guess you could say. It's a solid move because they needed a defensive midfielder. You and I have talked a great deal about this, so I'm going to read what was said about him on the Fulham website. Again, this is today. The club is delighted to confirm the signing of Rohan Ince on loan from Brighton Hove Albion until the end of the season. The London-born defensive midfielder began his career at Chelsea, and spent over a decade at the club as he rose through the youth ranks. After a brief loan spell at Yeovil Town, he left Stamford Bridge and joined Brighton ahead of the 2013-2014 season. In his debut campaign in the Amex Stadium, he helped the club reach the playoffs, making 33 appearances and winning their Young Player of the Season award. He made 38 appearances for the following team and won Brighton's Goal of the Year. Okay, so that's a little information on Rohan Ince. Again, he's come to Fulham on loan from Brighton Hove Albion. His market value, according to Transfer Market, somewhere is 1 million euros. I find, you know, I always like to go there to see market value, and they have him at about a million euros. So I find that interesting. All right, David, like I mentioned, we needed a defensive midfielder. You and I have talked about it a great deal. So I'm happy. I'm very happy with this move. What are your thoughts?
Oh, no, likewise. I mean, we've all seen that, you know, our midfield has been too lightweight. Our back four haven't had enough protection. And, you know, we've flirted with different people in these positions. O'Hara's been asked to do the job, but I don't think it's really his job. Parker, likewise. Matilla, perhaps, but I don't know. The red flag seemed to have come up for Matilla, and he's disappeared. I don't know what's happening there. I did see a tweet from a Brighton fan who, because someone said, well, if he's so good, why is he not in their team? And they said, well, we play 4-4-2, and he's no good in a 4-4-2, basically. So I'm not sure what to make of that. I did try and tweet back and get a response, but I didn't get a reply, unfortunately. So it's almost suggesting that he needs to be maybe one of a midfield three, like we've been talking about, either with the 3-5-2 or in the last few matches, of course, Slav has been playing this 4-5-1 or 4-5-1 variant effectively. So something that includes three central midfielders anyway. And I can kind of understand that because I think, you know, we have the same situation. We have the problem the other way around, that if Tom Cairn is going to be playing central midfield, he needs two guys around him or behind him. We can't manage with one defensive midfielder and Tom Cairn. It doesn't seem to work like that. So I found it very interesting, this Brighton fan thought that he's not really the man for a 4-4-2, because we have seen Slav play a 4-4-2 in his earlier games. But, again, it's the same as I've said with Michael Maddle. We don't know until we actually see him. And we've got to see how he performs individually. But more importantly, how does he, you know, perform as part of the team, the setup? But certainly someone who is an effective defensive midfielder is going to be a big asset to us. And I'm obviously looking forward to that and hoping to see, you know, us taking steps forward to make our defence more solid. And then hopefully we can concentrate on becoming that free-scoring team that we were earlier in the season.
See, David, that's my hope. I think he could be a key here because you said that maybe Slavica now is going to be changing the formation to have, say, three central midfielders, and potentially this would really help solidify the back four, be protection for the back four with Ince, and then that opens everything else up. Like you said, then we can really be free-flowing with our other central midfielders and do other things as well. So I really like this move. I think, you know, again, we're going to have to see him play, but it's interesting what you shared from the Brighton fan, because that might be an indication to us what Solvice is planning on doing. Maybe he's not going to plan on playing too much 4-4-2. Maybe he's going to be playing these other formations that can use his assets better, and maybe that's why he's being brought in. Because I've seen much on Twitter about, do these moves mean that we're changing our formation around? That are we doing different things? Maybe it is true, David. You know, maybe this is a sign that Solvice is heading us in a different direction formation wise. But and that's what I find interesting of this move. And we needed a defensive midfielder. We needed an Etuhu type. I don't know if he's an Etuhu type, David. But you know, based on what I've read and what I've heard about him, I think he's going to help solidify that back four by being protection, and maybe he can help moving forward as well.
Well, have you seen the breaking news, Russ?
I have not seen the breaking news.
Fernando Amorebieta has returned, apparently. The club has confirmed an agreement has been reached with Middlesbrough to allow Fernando Amorebieta to return to Fulham ahead of schedule. The Venezuelan international has been on a season-long loan at the Riverside Stadium and made 16 appearances, but he will now link up with Slavica Djukanovic's squad for the remainder of the campaign. I had to check this to make sure this wasn't a wind-up or something, or that I've been fooled, but apparently it seems genuine, so that's a bit of a shock, to say the least.
David, what do you make of this? Because, again, he just brought in a centre-back, now you have him. Now, he can play left-back. We've seen that. How do you think Solvice plans on using Fernando Amorebieta now he's back with the club?
I'm shocked. I mean, I imagine Amorebieta will be a bit pissed off, really, because he seems to be enjoying himself at Middlesbrough. He's gone from, you know, having a chance of perhaps staying there and getting signed permanently and being in the Premier League to coming back to Fulham, and where he hasn't, you know, had a lot of success. I mean, obviously he has something going about him, because the Middlesbrough fans seem to be quite keen on him, and he's been a regular for them. And this is a very interesting move. I mean, obviously, I've seen tweets to suggest that Bodroff is off, so obviously there's a situation perhaps where we're losing one, we need one back in. But you know, Bodroff's been nowhere near the first team this season, so this is a very interesting thing. I'll be interested to see what happens now. Keep watching this space for the next 45 minutes or so. See who else is off, because does this mean someone's disappearing? I mean, what's going to happen next? Watch this space, I think.
Absolutely, David, and listen, just break in. If we do have breaking news, just like you did, it's great that you could break the news. I actually just checked the Cottage Talk Twitter page. You already had it up there, so good by you for bringing that up there. And you probably had to do a double take to see if it was real, but it is real because I'm looking at it right now. So Fernando Amorebieta is going to be back with Fulham. That is fascinating. Wow. I didn't see that one coming, David. It doesn't sound like you did either.
No, certainly not. I guess the chances of getting James Husband back have gone even lower now. So at some point, but yeah, this is a real strange one for me. I'm not sure what to make of it. I mean, I don't completely dislike him, but I don't think he's ever really had a good run at Fulham either. He's not proved himself to be worthy at centre back or left back, among other choices. Not really. He's not been a standout candidate, if you know what I mean. I think he's been okay as a fill-in player, but I don't think he's had any run in the team where I thought, yeah, he should be first choice, and I'm sure you'd say the same. But, yes, he does provide cover in both positions, and you'd think someone of his relative experience would be useful, because he's quite a big, tough guy. He's, you know, we've just been talking about we need a bit of toughening up in this tough league, and he is a tough player. Perhaps sometimes that leads him down the wrong path. He gets himself booked or sent off too many times, but, you know, he is... on paper, maybe the stats man, you know, this is the stats man has come to life again. It's come up suddenly, you know, they've pulled a number out of a hat and it's come in, Fernando, your time is up. But who knows, this is kind of, you know, a very, very interesting move, and Twitter seems to be going mad about it already.
It is. let me throw something at you, because just as this is breaking, I'm just throwing things up because I don't know if this means anything. But like you mentioned, we'll have to see if someone's leaving. But if no one leaves, is this an indication that maybe we're going to see Slavica go to a 3-5-2?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's got more than enough central defenders to do that.
Exactly.
Remember at this stage, and obviously at the time of saying this live, in case anyone is listening to the recording, we still have Bodaroff, Byrne, Hutchinson. We have Maddle now there, of course. We now have Amar Bieta. And I've forgotten someone else, obviously, we have there, but I'm sure we have someone
Hutchinson.
Else there as well.
Sorry? Hutchinson? Did you
no,
mention
I did
Hutchinson?
Didn't I? Did I say Bodaroff, Byrne, Hutchinson? Oh, of course, Stearman. I forgot Stearman, sorry. And Ream. So actually, we know, we could play a whole team of centre-backs at this stage almost. It would be very easy to find. I'm sure you could find three out of those who would play at the back. But this is fascinating because we've negotiated him to come back. This is someone who's on a very big wage, I assume, because he was signed on a free transfer.
That's right.
When we were a Premier League team. So he's come in on a big wage, and I would have thought that Middlesbrough have been paying that wage, some of it or all of it, in this time he's been away. And so we've decided to come back on this and change it. And this can only really mean that, well, I suppose it could mean two things. We have a buyer for him, and he's going to go somewhere else.
Right.
I suppose. Middlesbrough
don't
want to buy
him,
but someone else does. But I think it's probably unlikely. I think it's way more likely that, for whatever reason, madness or otherwise, Fulham have decided they want him, and he's going to figure.
Yeah, it's interesting. And again, we're going to have to follow this to see if someone else is leaving. Like you mentioned, Bodaroff. I don't know. But we'll find out soon enough, David, if someone else is leaving. But it'll be interesting to see how this all fits. I'm fascinated with it too, David, because now Slavica has several options at center back to choose from. So it'll be interesting to see how he uses all of them and who he decides are the center backs that really he wants to go with, or does he mix and match from match to match? It's interesting because what's interesting about Amor Bieta, David, and we've already talked about this, is that he's versatile. He can play left back.
This is Tim Ream the second. So, do we need two Tim Reams? Do we need two Amor Bietas? It's kind of Tim Ream is a better footballer than Amar Bieta. Amar Bieta is better in the air than Tim Ream. So, again, it's kind of...
No.
If you could take the top half of one and the bottom half of the other, you'd have a really good one. Maybe we have some Frankenstein at Fulham who's going to do that. They're going to surgically remove the top half of one and the bottom half of the other and stick them together, and we're going to have Fernando Ream or something as our new centre-back. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, it's, this situation is very interesting, and we are recording live for the final hour of the transfer window, so who knows what's going to happen next, David. That was something that neither one of us saw coming, and it really is fascinating. There could be something else, David, before the window closes, so please keep me updated if you hear anything, and I certainly will as well. All right, David, let's move on. Let's talk about another signing that happened today. This one's very interesting. I started seeing information about this player last night, speculation about him last night. I'm going to read again from the Fulham website. And if I'm saying the name wrong, I please understand I've been trying to get this name right, so if I say it wrong, I apologize. Labiad in on loan. The club is delighted to confirm the signing of Zakaria Labiad on loan from Sporting Club de Portugal until the end of the season. A versatile attacking player, Labiad graduated from the youth ranks at PSV Eindhoven in his native Netherlands and made his debut for the senior club at the age of 17. He went on to make 49 appearances for the club. He joined Sporting in the summer of 2012 and proceeded to score 3 times in 22 matches in his maiden campaign in Portugal. In January 2014, Wahbi had returned to Holland to join Vitesse on an 18-month loan deal, during which time he helped the club to consecutive top six finishes. He netted 12 times when he was with the MM outfit. He made a number of appearances for the Netherlands at youth level, but later switched his allegiances to Morocco, for whom he was since won a handful of senior caps. He was also in their squad for the 2012 Olympic Games in the UK. Okay, that is just some information about him. Then there was a follow-up article also on the Fulham website with some quotes, David. I'm just going to read this to you. The article is entitled, Wahbiyat Attacking Style. Zakaria Wahbiyat is hoping to entertain the Fulham fans after signing for the club on loan for the remainder of the season. The attacking midfielder is comfortable on the wing or in the number 10 role, and he's keen to contribute to Slavisa Jokanovic's offensive style of play. Quote, actually, there's a reason why they brought me to Fulham, because I like to play football, he told the official website. Especially combination football, that's the main thing, not just kick and rush. I'm an attacking player, I'm a creative player. I can score goals, and I'm a team player. Yes, I hope the fans will like my football style, but of course the most important thing is to win games. With experience of playing in the top Portuguese and Dutch leagues under his belt, the 22-year-old is now relishing the opportunity to test himself in England. Quote, I'm looking forward to the challenge of playing in the UK, he said. I'm very happy to play for Fulham. I'm on loan and very happy to be here. I followed the club since Martin Yeo was coach, and since then I've always been following the football here in the UK. It's always been a dream to play in the UK. Okay, David, that's some information on Zakaria Wahbiyat. His market value, according to Transfer Market, is actually at 3 million euros. Again, another player on loan. David, what are your thoughts about this player? What's interesting about this, before Fulham made the announcement, Sky Sports listed him as a striker. But I actually watched a 10-minute video that I posted on the Cottage Talk Facebook page, and he looked like either a number 10 or a winger. So I think he could play striker, but I think he has played more as either a winger or in that number 10 role. David, what are your thoughts about this loan signing?
Yeah, I had a look at that video on YouTube. I must admit, after about 4 minutes, I switched it off because I was sick of them playing 15 replays of the same goal every time. But the thing I was actually trying to see was I tried to work out what his natural foot was, whether he was right-footed or left-footed. And I must admit that he seemed to be very proficient on his right foot, but he seemed to be also quite useful on his left. I think most of the goals he scored, most of the, you know, there's a couple of long-range efforts, were on his right foot. So it was interesting to see that. I've heard him described as a right-winger or a left-winger. Is he going to be another kind of inverted winger that we've seen before? But he certainly looked like he would be much more effective in that kind of wide left position than is playing someone like Christensen then, of course. But, you know, he seemed to be quite an exciting player with a good shot on him, which is something we certainly need. As I said to you before we came on, I happened to see Abdi Zawadu welcome him to Fulham, the former ex-player, and I said to him jokingly, could you please give us a pronunciation for Gentleman Jim? And he replied, just call him Zach. So for now, I'm going to just call him Zach, I think.
Okay, let's call
him
Zach.
How to do it. Yeah, but you see, I've sent you another pronunciation, if you could perhaps do. Because there's a team that's confirmed that they signed Boruoff on loan for the rest of the season. So I wondered if you'd like to pronounce the name of this team in
Denmark. Oh, that's okay,
Denmark,
David. I'll give you the honors.
It looks like Midtjylland or something like that. Anyway, well, I can tell you, I was corrected once by a Danish friend, because if you remember, we shamefully went out of the Europa League to the team from Odense.
Yeah,
he told me, most authoritatively, that in fact that place in Denmark is pronounced Uns. The place that we would call Odense, or is written Odense, it's Uns.
That's right.
So God knows what this team is. But anyway, we have confirmation perhaps that Boruoff has gone out, which is it kind of matches up with the deal from obviously
for
coming back in. But I was going to forward to you as well. I saw some stats apparently for Middlesbrough. It's going to be a very stats thing now. This is a new buzzword. Middlesbrough with and without Fernando Amabieta. I've got no idea whether these stats are true or not, but apparently with him in the team, they've won 7 and lost 7. With him not in the team, they've won 12, drawn 6 and lost none. So that's not such a great record, really, is it? So perhaps they realised he wasn't as good. And I have seen a few aghast comments on Twitter about Amabieta coming back. I could quote a few. I think Mike Full FC says it all, really, but he is shite. That's probably sums up what most people have been saying. But who knows? But, getting back to, obviously, Zach, I think out of the signings so far, he's obviously the exciting one because at the end of the day, defenders and defensive midfielders are there to do a job. They're not there to be exciting. It's not exciting that you stop a goal. See, this is why, someone like Dixon Atuhu, we keep going back to him, I know, or I keep going back to him if no one else does. He wasn't an exciting player, but...
But he was a key player, Dave.
You realise what an effective job he did, what a great role he had, and how much you miss him when he wasn't there. And you need players like that. For every superstar and exciting player, you need a graft who's going to do the work for you. And so hopefully, we've signed two grafters and perhaps one exciting player. And this guy looks very exciting. But again, he's been playing in a Dutch league and done well. We've seen that with Ruiz. He's been a few places. He hasn't really stopped anywhere that long at the moment, if you look at his record. Obviously, he's quite young. He hasn't found his feet yet. Perhaps he'll find his feet in England. Perhaps, I'm sure I saw it quoted that there is the option to buy at the end of the loan period. So that would be good
if
it works out.
I haven't seen that, Dave, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
Did you see that?
No, I have not.
I'm sure I saw it was actually from Sarah Brooks. Someone asked the question and they said, is there an option to buy? And she said, yes. And you may find that somewhere in... Obviously, there's been a lot of Twitter today, a lot of tweets. So obviously...
Sure.
It might be hard to find that, but I'm sure I did see that earlier, someone saying that there was an option to buy. And obviously that's what we want. At the end of the day, if we find we like these players and they do well for us, we're going to want to keep them.
We want them,
permanently. Of course we do. It's quite interesting that, in fact, we've done perhaps more business with an embargo than we have sometimes without an embargo. So perhaps,
this is so true, David.
We should have an embargo every week. But obviously, the one we're all hoping to go through that hasn't gone through yet, and we've got 27 minutes left, is of course, the transfer of Jazz Richards to anywhere. But we haven't seen that one yet.
By the way, David, Fulham made it official on the website and on their Twitter account about Nikolai Bodorov has joined that club. I'm not even going to touch that name. Thank you for attempting to say that name. That is a crazy name.
I'm going to try and get a proper pronunciation for us, yeah?
Okay.
I'm going to run into my phone or something and see if I can get a translation out the other side.
Oh, boy, David. Very interesting.
You keep talking
moves.
While
and,
I'm playing
and
with that, it, yeah?
What was that, David?
You said keep talking while I'm playing with that anyway.
Yeah, no, I will, David, because we haven't even talked about the two big names. We're going to be talking about them shortly. But before we do, David, I want to transition because there is a name of a player that Sky Sports was mentioning was at Mosport Park. I don't know. I haven't seen anything from the club, but there is speculation about Alex McCarthy with Crystal Palace, a goalkeeper. Have you seen this speculation, David?
Well, apparently it's all off now because it was based upon them signing Rob Green from the other team in London, Borough, Hammersmith and Fulham. And that seems to have fallen through, and so this has fallen through. But I was quite fascinated by it. I was thinking, are we trying to see how many goalkeepers we can accumulate on loan or new goalkeepers? I remember seeing him play, and I thought he had potential, but he was also capable of the odd mistake or two. And I'm thinking, is he really an upgrade on Lonahan? And with of course, Bettinelli hopefully back in the not-too-distant future. I was quite surprised that we were looking, especially as I guess there is some restriction on how many players we can bring in and financial side of things still with the FFP rules, I'm thinking, do we really want to use up a space bringing in a goalkeeper? And if we do, what does this say about Slavisa's assessment of obviously the keepers we have now?
Right.
Yeah, if he's looking to bring someone in the short term to replace, you know, Lonergan until Bettinelli comes back, he obviously hasn't got much faith in Lonergan or in Lewis. And Lonergan hasn't done a lot wrong, really. You know, we've had these questions about the long-range shots and ability to take crosses, but how many goals has he actually cost us that were blatant errors in this time? It's hard to pin anything on him, really. And he's made some good saves in one-on-one situations. So, yeah, it was a real surprise to see that we were dabbling with another goalkeeper. But from what I understand and what I've seen is that it's now fallen through. But
okay,
we won't know that until... We've still got 25 minutes or so to go, so you never know what's going to happen. But I think it's off, you know?
Okay. Okay, and thank you for updating me. I did not see that, so I appreciate you updating the Alex McCarthy situation. I have not looked in about a half hour, so it probably has happened around that time.
Actually,
so thank you, David, for updating.
Obviously, Steve Livid is listening live. Hello, Steve. Welcome to Cottage Talk. He's just forwarded a tweet, actually, for you from the chap who asked Sarah about the option to buy. I don't know if you've just seen that tweet. Yeah, Steve Livid is just done. So thanks for that, Steve. Thanks for forwarding that one, and thanks for listening. And sorry, Russ, carry on with what you're saying.
No, I was talking about the moves, and I found it interesting as well, David, that they were considering bringing in a goalkeeper. I think that's telling, even though it's, you know, we only have a little over 20 minutes left, and you indicated that it's probably not going to happen. But the fact that they're even looking at one is interesting, so I guess we're going to have to see how this plays out. If he doesn't come in, well, obviously we still have Andy Lonergan and we have Marcus Bettinelli on the mend. I don't know if he'll be back this season, but it's good to see all the tweets from Marcus. I don't know if you've been following Marcus much, David, but I think he's definitely on the road to recovery.
No, it's looking as if he's not too far from coming back, because he's been out and about now. He's been doing a bit of running, and he's been practicing on his ball handling and things. And I think it's just a matter of building up a bit of strength and fitness. I mean, these things always take longer, I think, than you would imagine, but we're talking in a matter of weeks now, obviously, not months, I would imagine.
Right. No, I mean, listen, it's a long process, but I'm just glad that he's coming back, and I look forward to him wearing a foam shirt, playing with the first team again, and let's hope that's sooner than later. All right, David, before we move on, I want to go back and I want to talk about the loan signing of the player from the winger, the attacking player. I want to just go back and ask you, because when I was watching the video, and it's 10 minutes, and you mentioned you got tired after about 4 minutes, but I watched all 10 minutes. And the one thing that stood out to me is the one thing that you have been screaming for Fulham for a long time is pace. David, it's only a video, but it looks like this player has pace. That had to make you happy.
Most certainly. We need to improve our pace all over the pitch, in defence, in midfield and up front. We need fast players in all positions, really.
Yep.
You can't have everyone with pace, but, relying on Ryan Fredericks to be the only person in the team with pace, and he's not even getting in, unfortunately. We've been so static, that. We've all said that, how static we are. Not just in our actual physical pace of the players, but in terms of just the way we don't really move around very quickly, how we hold the ball up, how we go net backwards. To take people on, you do need pace. You imagine if you're a footballer and you're not very quick, you're not going to try and push the ball past someone and run with it, because you probably won't get there. That's a difficult thing. But if you've got confidence in your own pace and ability, you're going to do that. I mean, if I had absolute pace, that's all I'd do all day long, would be pushing the ball past people and running. And that's the worst thing for a defender when you get turned on your heels and have to chase back. So, yeah, I mean, someone who's got natural pace, we've seen it with Ryan Fredericks. I know he's not an ideal player, but in the brief time that he's played, we've seen he's prepared to push the ball past people and run. And they hate it. People hate that. You know, defenders hate it, having to turn the wrong way. So, yeah, most certainly, someone with pace and confidence and obviously a bit of skill. And you know, how he fits in, I'm not sure, but if he does play on the left, I would say he would be 10 times better than having LVC there. I'm not saying that LVC is a bad player, but that isn't a position really for LVC, not to play left midfield. Either side, I guess, really, left or right, but I'm not sure if Slavica is going to be keeping with his kind of, at the moment, his trend of playing Kakanicic on the right. Not really sure where that's going to go, but I guess he could play either side. He looked, from what I watched in the video before I got bored of the incessant replays, he did look like he had two good feet on him, which is a good thing to have. So yeah, therefore, he would be pretty adept on either flank rather than being limited. Because the worst thing you want, if you play someone on the wrong flank, is that they only can go one way. That's, you know, that's the problem. That happens a bit with LBC, unfortunately. He's not a wide man anyway, but he's always looking to come in on his right. Kakanic is mostly looking to come in on his left. He can go a little bit on his right, but he's not strong there. Not like Duff was. Duff was the last person who was kind of really good either side, you know, because he could use both feet quite well. So this is certainly the most exciting one, as I say. We've got the, you know, the solid signings to come in to play in the holding roles and the defensive roles. But this is the guy that, you know, could be the creative spark that we're missing, really, to get push the ball past, get behind defenders, bring other people into play, open things up a bit, you know, and also be an outlet with someone with pace, someone who can run in behind, and people can feed balls through to them. So yeah, this is the one for me that is going to be the real one that will take the attention, because at the end of the day, he'll be the one getting all the plaudits, I guess, if he's exciting. Whereas, you know, you don't get, as I say, you don't get many plaudits for being a defender, for keeping a clean sheet. Not as much as you do if you score a goal, if you create a goal.
No, David, I hear you. And listen, I'm going to share some information with you from WhoScored.com. We're talking about Zakaria Lebied, and it has an interesting analysis on him, and I'm just going to share this with you. And the one thing that actually I saw in the video that really stands out, these are his characteristics. The first one is something that I know, strengths, long shots. David, he takes many long shots. Even on a 10-minute video, he took a ton of long shots. Dribbling, passing, holding on to the ball, taking set pieces, crossing, those are all strengths. His style of play, likes to do layoffs, likes to cut inside. His weaknesses, aerial duels, and defensive contribution. But David, based on what I think Savisa is bringing him into, he really wants him to concentrate going forward. But what are your thoughts about those characteristics that I just read from WhoScored.com on Zakaria Lebied?
Well, it sounds, I guess it sounds what you want to be hearing. It sounds positive. I don't know how our stats man will, you know, will analyze them. Maybe they use WhoScored.com as well. Who knows? But and again, it's like anything, you know, you can look at the stats, you can look at video, you know, there's every footballer out there, they show their best bits on YouTube, you can find that. But, you know, sometimes we play in these cliched ones, it's a wet night in Stoke, they always talk about a wet Tuesday night in Stoke, can the players perform there? You know, players, especially coming from the continent from warmer climates, how do they perform in horrible, muddy, wet, you know, cold conditions? How will they perform alongside the other people in the team at that point? How will they interact with the people in that team? This is why, you know, I know we haven't really talked about it, this stats thing worries me, because it's all very well analysing players on their individual abilities, but until you see them, how they interact with the rest of the team and with the opposition and in the leagues that you're playing in and the conditions, you never really know if someone's going to be an ideal fit or not. But you have to try, obviously. You can't just say, oh, sorry, I'm not going to buy anyone then, because you can't be sure if they're going to be any good or not. You have to try these things. But on the face of it, it looks quite positive, I have to say.
I agree, David. And you know, what's interesting, reading his characteristics, we're going to have to see how it plays out with him playing in the championship. But based on what I've watched and what I've read and what I've been told about him, it's promising, but we'll have to see how it all plays out. But I'm going to go back to why the player that I'm looking forward to seeing is Rohan Ince because of what he can offer. He's the solid lone player that I'm looking forward to seeing. And David, I actually have some characteristics also on him from WhoScored.com. It's going to back up why I'm looking forward to seeing what he can offer us. His strengths, again, according to WhoScored.com, aerial duels, very strong. Ball interception, very strong. He's also strong dribbling, blocking the ball strong. His style of play, likes to dribble, likes to play short passes. He does not have any weaknesses, according to WhoScored.com. So, David, based on what we've talked about, the needs of the club, doesn't he fit what we're looking for in a defensive midfielder?
Well, if those characteristics are correct from WhoScored.com, yeah, of course. I mean, a player without any weaknesses, that'll be a first probably, especially for Fulham, I think, you know. Everybody has their weaknesses, so
sure.
You know, it's almost too good to be true, but on that basis, and, you know, I'd agree with you that's, you know, could be really the pivotal signing if these things are...
That's what I think, David. I think he could be the pivotal one. I think that Libya could be the exciting one.
Yeah, no, that, absolutely. I mean, if he can do that job in defensive midfield, coupled in the right formation, of course, and allow other people to, you know, create more, and the knowledge that we have better cover for our defence, then, yeah, great. I mean, he'll be signing on the dotted line at the end of the season, I would think.
Okay, very good there, David. All right, let's move on. And now let's talk about some speculation. Before we talk about McCormick and Dembele, I want to share this with you because I saw this from Wayne Vesey a couple of hours ago. And it's funny, yesterday I started seeing some speculation regarding Gnabry from Arsenal. I was excited because I really wanted for him to go after Gnabry. And Wayne has an interesting article. It's not going to happen, and there is a good reason why it's not going to. But I'm going to read this article to you from Wayne Vesey in Football Insider. This is about 2 hours ago. Exclusive: Arsenal make deadline day bid for next Gareth Bale. Very interesting title. Arsenal have made a deadline day bid for emerging England star Ryan Sessegnon. Football Insider sources understand the Fulham left back, dubbed the next Gareth Bale, has been targeted by the Gunners following a series of impressive displays for age group teams. Arsenal requested Sessegnon 16 in part exchange for winger Serge Gnabry, going on loan to the Championship club for the rest of the season. The Premier League giants want the England under-16 captain on a permanent deal, but Fulham have rejected the offer. Talks between the two clubs over the deal for the German under-21 international Gnabry have now collapsed and are unlikely to be revived. All right, David, what are your thoughts about this speculation? It's a few hours old, and got to be honest with you, I was hoping that Fulham were going to make a strong run for Gnabry, but the price is too high. This kid actually is a very good prospect, and I'm glad that they did not take the bait for a short-term loan. What are your thoughts about this?
I've seen the tweet from Sarah Brooks, which says basically, time to go to bed, so basically no more dealings, we assume, from that. So we can say that Ryan Sessegnon is safely going to be a Fulham player still, hopefully. But yeah, very interesting. Obviously, we saw a little about this Serge Gnabry coming into Fulham, but initially it was just as a loan. He was pulled back from West Brom. I don't know if that was because of anything to do with Fulham or not. And then we've seen this thing latterly about Ryan Sessegnon, but obviously I'm pleased to see that Fulham are, you know, sticking to their guns, because if this guy is anything like the next Gareth Bale, we certainly want to be, you know, keeping him and not you know, exchanging him for like an Arsenal reserve player for half a season. You know, certainly this is, you know, I haven't seen him play. It's a shame Mike's obviously not here. I'm sure he'd be able to tell us a lot more about Ryan Sessegnon, but
yep,
it's good that, you know, that we're keeping on to some of our players. you know, we do have a few talented youngsters still coming through. I'm not sure if we're quite where we were a couple of seasons ago when we had a fantastic under-18s, but still. You know,
we're getting there again, David, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
we are getting there again.
It's been a source of annoyance to quite a few of us that, you know, we've seen, obviously, Patrick Roberts go, Emerson Heinen might be going, Dembele might be going, and others have gone one way or another. Either they haven't been just retained or whatever. So certainly, you know, I'd like to see Ryan Sessegnon have more time at Fulham because, you know, he's a very young lad anyway and he's already getting international recognition. So there's got to be something about him. And, you know, this is, you know, we need a left back at Fulham and we've got a few hanging around, but out of the players that we have obviously Garber who's on loan. We have then Reem and Amabieta who are both centre-backs, sort of, who can fill in at left-back. And then, of course, we have Jordan Evans, who's out on loan at the moment as well. So we don't want to be, you know, getting rid of too many. We want to, you know, if we're not going to get someone like Jim Husband in on a permanent deal who seemed to be a good fit for Fulham, we want to be growing our own and getting them in the team. So, great.
That's right.
There's quite interesting tweets going around saying that Amabieta is coming back because we've upset Middlesbrough over McCormack. I don't know if that's true or not. It's like revenge. They've decided to send him back. Perhaps Fulham have agreed, you know, for him to come back is actually spin the fact that Middlesbrough said we don't want him anymore, take him back. Obviously we're going to be talking about Middlesbrough, I guess, in a minute. But
we are.
It seems that the dealings are done, but I'm going to keep watching nevertheless to see if there's anything late comes through. But I wasn't that excited about Gnabry anyway. I thought he could do a job, but I didn't think he was a permanent solution to what we need. So I'm glad that we haven't gone down that personally.
Okay, and what's interesting is I've been following the Twitter feeds, the Fulham Twitter feeds, you know, and different Twitter feeds, and I've seen several articles talking about this Gnabry, Ryan Sessegnon speculation. Dean Jones, who we had on the show, and actually tweeted out an article from John Cross in the Mirror talking about it, how it failed, and honestly, I am glad it failed because we should not be selling our young talent for a rental like that. Definitely not. I wanted Gnabry, but it makes no sense. It makes no sense for Fulham to do that, and I'm glad that I did not take the bait on that one. I think that would be a bad thing to do because this kid could be something. I actually watched him, David, play in a youth match for England against the U.S., believe it or not, about a couple months ago. And he was very impressive then. And I thought, wow, we might have something with Ryan Sessegnon and his brother as well. There are two of them. So we need to hold on to our young, talented players. So I am so glad that Fulham did not make that deal, even though I wanted Gnabry. The price is way too high. The price is way too high to give up a player like that. You don't do that. All right, David, let's talk about speculation that has been going crazy for a while. Obviously, it's Ross McCormack and Moussa Dembele. Let's start with Ross McCormack. It's been crazy following this whole situation. I just want to get your overall take. We've not done a show in a week. We really haven't talked about this. Just share with me your overall thoughts on the Ross McCormack situation with Fulham.
I will, but you have to give me 30 seconds because I'm going to dial back in, Russ. Okay?
Okay. Okay. Please do, David. Okay. While David does dial back in, what's interesting is I've been following this closely. And when the situation with Jordan Rhodes broke down yesterday, I got very concerned that they would come back in for Ross McCormack. But they ended up getting their man in the end. We're talking about Middlesbrough did end up signing Jordan Rhodes, I believe. So that changed everything with the Ross McCormack situation. I'm just waiting for David to come back, and he's back with us. All right, David, you're back with us. Share with me your thoughts on the whole situation with Ross McCormack with Middlesbrough. Situation, we've seen speculation that he might be signing a new contract with Fulham. What do you make of it all?
Well, the Middlesbrough thing, you know, I think obviously there was something to it. Middlesbrough were definitely in the market, and they were looking at the two sort of leading strikers from the division. And Jordan Rhodes, you know, it's a surprise that he was at Blackburn maybe as long as he was, really. But McCormack, I think there was certainly something to it. And if you believe what you read, you know, his agents pretty much sold him on the idea that, you know, he's got a chance of going there. You know, big money move, playing Premier League football perhaps next year if things go to plan. And that certainly, it seems to have unsettled him. And there's been this, you know, him being sick or whatever last week, not being able to play, not really sure what happened. Rumours that he's refusing to train. Rumours of all sorts, really. But we don't actually know the truth. You know, he could have been actually sick, or he was maybe just, you know, protected for his own good, really, by Slavisa decided he wasn't in the right frame of mind to play, to protect him from these things. And then it's looked like suddenly the wheels have fallen off. Suddenly they've come in for Rhodes. They're not getting anywhere. Fulham have refused to sell him initially. And then the thing with Rhodes has gone, you know, a bit bit pear shaped for a minute as well. It looked like that one was going to fall through.
That's
and it's
right.
Back on. And then we've seen obviously now that that's been concluded.
It's just been confirmed. Yeah. I just saw a picture with Jordan
yeah.
Rhodes. With a Middlesbrough shirt, so that's done and dusted, David.
But the thing for me that was most galling was that then there's been the rumours that Fulham have offered him an improved contract to stay, and
that's right.
You know, I found that a bit disturbing in a way, because he's only signed, you know, an improved contract in the summer. He's come here already, and then, you know. And he still has his critics, you know. There's people who think that, for whatever reason, you know, he's maybe not the ideal player. No one can dispute the fact that he has talent, that he scores goals, but perhaps his attitude sometimes. There's people who question his physique. You know, they think perhaps he's overweight, he's not fit enough. And I said it before, you know, people did say that about Frank Lampard for all his career, and I don't think it was probably true. It's just people used to enjoy, you know, making abuse and that sort of thing. But the fact that he's got a contract, you know, until he's well over 33 already, I think, and I would imagine he's one of the highest paid players at the club, if not the highest paid player. Probably not the highest. Probably Scott Parker would be, I would imagine, but he would be up there. And from the car he drives, and I don't want to get into kind of this because it's their choice, but he drives a very expensive car. I assume he's doing quite well already. So the fact that, you know, he's potentially asked to leave, and then Fulham has said, well, no, you can't go, but here's some more money. Yeah, I don't know, it's a little bit a slap in the face, perhaps. Okay, and I know the conversation we had yesterday about this off air, that, you know, perhaps increase his contract now, increase his worth, sell him in the summer when we're safe. Yes, but we could also be stuck with him on an increased contract for more years, for more money. And I know there's going to be some fans out there who think that perhaps he's a little bit of a traitor now, that they will believe what was read, that he actually wanted to leave, that he refused to play, he asked for a transfer. We don't know how true any of this is, but there's, you know, unfortunately some mud sticks with these things, doesn't it? And you see the rumours, people will believe it, put two and two together. And so the fact that we're potentially, you know, we're under this embargo because we've paid too much money out in fees and for players, and then we're going to give him more money when we've already put him on a great contract to stay longer, I don't know. I mean, for me, I really don't like that. I feel uncomfortable with it. You know, I'm a season ticket holder, and it's kind of my money in a way that's going towards this. I know it's a very small drop in the ocean, respectively, but still. You know, I'd like to feel that the money I pay for my season tickets is being spent very, very carefully and very wisely. And just to give him a bit more money to keep him quiet, if that's what happened, and we don't know, but if that's what's happened, I don't really like that, I must admit. And a part of me was always think, well, go then. If you know, if you haven't got any loyalty
right.
to the club, if you're only staying because we're giving you more money and a better deal, then maybe you shouldn't be here. despite the fact that, you know, we know that his goals are vital, really, at the moment, and we really do need his goals. So, you know, it's kind of mixed emotions for me.
It's a strange one for me, too, David, because I'm like you. I want players that are loyal to Fulham, but it's a situation where we need the player. We need the player. We are in a difficult situation right now, and to lose him could be devastating, and I knew that. And that's why I was extremely hopeful that they would hold on to him. I thought they needed to do that. The whole thing about offering him a new contract, again, we haven't seen anything on that. Nothing has Fulham haven't confirmed that. So nothing's official on that, but there was much talk about that yesterday and today, that he would that they were coming close on a new deal. But as far as I know, David, nothing's been done there, and I find that interesting. I thought they were trying to appease McCormack. That was just my opinion. I thought that's what they were trying to do. But for me, and I go back to something that Emilio said to me, and I said this to you on a prior show. Fulham were in a different situation, if Fulham were in that zone that you and I talked about, that comfortable mid-table zone, that they were not close enough to the top six and they were far enough away from the relegation zone, would I sell him? And I would, to Middlesbrough at the time, if the money was right, the answer would be yes. But the situation at hand, they need him. And they did the right thing. My feeling on this, David, is that the transfer window has closed now officially. It has closed. And I forgot to start the show this way. I was going to say this was going to be a successful window, regardless of all the loan players coming in, if Fulham held on to Ross McCormack and Moussa Dembele. And apparently they did both, David. So to me, it was very important that they held on to both of these players, and they've done that. So for me, without even the loan players, it's been a successful window. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, in terms of, you know, our striking options, which, you know, are fairly limited at the moment with Taggart's gone and with Woodrow injured, we only really have the three strikers.
That's right.
Who are recognised strikers with Smith, who, you know, who provides one particular option and style of play, but perhaps isn't suited to other things. Dembele, who has certainly had a good spell, though of late seems to have been off the boil very slightly. Of course, you know, McCormack, who perhaps started a little bit slowly, but has been fantastic form since then. You know, regardless of how he's played, he's been finding the net very regularly. Of course, it's a success that we've got them still, because without them, you know, had we lost both of them without any suitable replacement, we really would have been struggling, really struggling. Obviously, in terms of Dembele, had we got the reported deal worth perhaps potentially 5 or 6 million with him back on loan for the rest of the season, would have been probably for me the ideal scenario, because
right,
we probably know he's going to go in the summer. So if we could guarantee to get a good fee for him now but keep him until the summer, then he would hopefully be happy and more settled, knowing that he's already got a move away organised. We would have a good deal in the bank, but get to use him for now. In the summer, we may lose him, and we may lose him for very little or nothing, literally, if he goes abroad. Obviously, if he stays
if he does,
in the UK,
right.
Yeah, if he stays in the UK, we still have the chance of getting money, but as I say, if we did sell him now but kept him on loan, we would have had that guaranteed money that we don't yet know we'll have. In terms of McCormack, certainly we need his goals and we need what he brings to the team, really, I think. I don't think
That's
anyone
right.
can argue against that. It's just whether the price, whether, you know, if there is going to be a new deal, you know, and we don't know that, but if a new deal is going to appear, you know, have we kind of sold out to the devil, if you know what I mean, by doing that?
No, I hear
that.
What you're saying.
You know, and that would be, the bit would leave a nasty taste in my mouth, especially if it means we end up, you know, not so much now, but if in 4 years' time he's still here and he's over the hill and we're paying him a big wage, then, you know, you start to look at it and think, was that really the right thing to do at the time? You know, people like, you know, Scott Parker. I love Scott Parker, and he's still, he's 100% player. But the deal that we got was probably not very good for Fulham in the long run. I mean, we got him at towards the end of his peak, or the end of his career, really. Certainly, you know, in his first season, he was excellent. But the rest of the time, we've been paying him a pretty high wage for someone who doesn't play very regularly, or, you know, and perhaps his better days are behind him. On the other hand, I'm sure he's an excellent influence to have around the place. You know, someone who's played football at the highest level for the younger players, and I think he's the sort of person, a good inspiration for them. So there's that side to it as well. But with McCormack, I'm not sure McCormack will be the same inspiration to other players. He has this air of petulance about him sometimes. And as I say, my concern is we're going to be stuck with him at 34, 35, paying him a big wage when no one else wants to take him offers. If this reported, you know, contract deal is accurate, and we don't know that, obviously.
No, we don't.
The chances of us offloading him in the summer, however, are probably less now, you know, because there hasn't been that much interest in him, not really. We've never seen any really big clubs, Premiership clubs, coming in for him.
No, it was mostly Championship teams that were interested,
yeah.
David.
So with the FFP, you know, you're not going to get a big fee for him, not really. No one's going to offer ridiculous money unless, of course, they can be almost guaranteed Premiership football next season. Because at the end of the day, that, in that respect, they can afford to pay the fines, and perhaps they can afford to take the penalty a little bit higher. When you look at Bournemouth, okay, perhaps a fine isn't appropriate. Perhaps an embargo would have been a fairer punishment if they've broken the rules. But it seems, as we've seen lots of times, that the rules for the big clubs, the rule for the Premier League, seems to be slightly different to the rules for the smaller clubs and the lower leagues. But this is the thing that worries me, is, you know, at what price are we keeping him? Will we be stuck with him if he doesn't want to stay? You know, how much value is he going to add? How many years will he be a potent force for Fulham if we do keep him the whole of the contract? Will he still be able to score 15, 20 goals a season or more in two or three seasons' time? I don't know. But in the short term, most certainly, we need him. And had we lost him, we would have really been struggling for goals. And you know, and the danger of relegation would have been real.
Yes. Yes. And, David, I will say that if they lost one, I would have thought there was danger. The fact that they've kept both of them changes my tune. I didn't want to have the conversation about relegation. It's still there. It's still there, and I'm not going to deny that it's still there. But the fact that these two players are still with Fulham, I think, is huge. And that's why it's a great window for that fact alone. But the players that they brought in are promising. And for me, this is a successful window. We'll have to see how successful it ultimately is if these players can play. You know, it looks good on paper. But we've seen that before. You know, I happen to see some great video on Kostas Mitroglou. I saw a great video on him, David. Fantastic video. How'd that work out? Same thing with Brian Ruiz. How'd that work out? It didn't work out. So it looks good on paper. We have to see it. That's why I understand why you're skeptical. We should be a little skeptical, but let's give them a chance first. You know, you could be a little skeptical, but with the idea that you're going to give them a chance, you're going to see if they can do something. I'm glad that you brought up Vozer. You guys knew right away that Vozer wasn't going to make it, wasn't going to cut it, and you were right. You were ultimately right there. And I think it's something that you could tell fairly quickly if a player is going to make it or not. And Vozer was someone that you could tell right away. I think it does vary a little bit from player to player, but you can get a feel pretty early on. And I think we're going to know fairly quickly if these loan signings can work out and how Slavisa feels about them. But overall, David, I go back to my premise. It's a win. It's a win just by holding on to McCormack and Dembele. Everything else is just adding on top of it. We needed several pieces, and I think Fulham did a nice job. Under a transfer embargo, David, think about that. They did this under a transfer embargo.
No, that's right. I mean, that's why I feel that in some ways, Fulham, they brokered a deal with the league. They said, OK, we hold our hands up. We'll take the hit now. But let us, you know, let us sign players still, or make the punishment so that we can still bring players in on loan if needs be. Or I don't know if that's really possible. I mean, you hear deals all the time in all walks of life, you know, big companies making deals with the government about how to reduce their tax bills, etc. I think Fulham knew this was coming, and they've worked it in the best way they could. So what they've received is, you know, for them it's effectively a slap on the wrist, but it hasn't restricted us too much because we've been able to still operate, you know, almost as much as we would have done. We've, you know, and loans are great. You know, you get to see a player on loan, see what he can do, and hopefully if you have the option to sign them, you know, you're not committed. You've got that first initial period, half the season, to see what they can do. You know, we wouldn't know that with anyone. We've had several players coming in and out on loan over the years. You know, we see people like Jim Husband. We thought, yeah, he's great. We'd like to keep him. Luke Garbett, not so sure, really. You know, he's been a bit mixed bag. He's had a bit of a better run now, but initially,
yep.
No, you know, when Husband was here, Husband was a better choice. And I know Luke Garbett, obviously, there's not really an option to buy him there, I don't think. Maybe there's not with other players, but at least you always have that bit of hope there when you see someone who comes into the team and what they can offer. But, you know, as Sarah said on these tweets that were forwarded to you earlier, there does seem to be the option there to buy, to make these moves permanent if they work out. So that's great if you can do that. See how they play, see how they fit in, and then if things go well, you can keep them. What could be better, really? Better than signing someone who turns out to be, you know, a wet blanket and that you wish you never signed them and you're stuck with them for years paying their wages.
Yeah. No, I hear you, David. I hear you. All right. Before we talk about this article from The Telegraph, because we got about a little over 15 minutes, definitely want to talk about that. We will do a whole show about this because we need one. Trust me, we need one. But I do want to talk about it for at least 10, 15 minutes with you. Before we do that, I want to ask you a question because there's been much talk about Shad Khan, Mike Rigg, management of Fulham in general, of course, Lavisa now coming in. The fact that they held on to these players and brought in these loan players, does this change anything with you with management? Does it show you anything, or are you still skeptical of management in general, David? Do you need to still see more improvement before you would give them any due for holding on to these players and bringing in these loan players? Can you give them some due, is what I'm asking.
I think Slavish has kind of shown a bit of direction. We have a bit of direction now.
Okay.
Before that, it was really, you know, we were just going round in circles, I think. You know, there seems to be a bit of a direction. I'd like to think that Slavisa's had a say in all these signings. It's not just been pulled out of a hat or on a computer by some stats guy. But there is still a lot of, acrimony between the fans and the people in charge, and that can be
yep.
Rigg, also can be Khan. And as you know, there's been a lot of exchanges on Twitter with Tony Khan, and Tony Khan's obviously got quite pissed off with some of it because he's been fighting back, as we've seen. And I can understand it from both sides, really, that he has his ways and he's trying to employ modern science, you know, modern methods, analytics, statistics, to try and, you know, to bring an edge to an edge to the way that we run things. But, you know, as we talk about with this article, you know, where is the balance? Is there a balance there? Is everything being done by stats only, or is there traditional scouting, etc., involved as well? So I think Slavisa is obviously the key to this. He's the only real change at the moment in the setup. We still have Mike
yes.
Rigg. We still have Shahid Khan. And I think, you know, it's for Slavisa to save these guys' reputations, really, than the other way around. Because it's at that end of the things where where we win or we lose, we live or we die. Slavica gets us into a winning team, our league position improves, we become a credible threat for promotion next year perhaps. Slavica will get the plaudits, but also then the plaudits can be passed on to Rigg and to Calm, because ultimately they've appointed the right man for the job and they've backed the right man in the correct way. But if things continue as they have been, then, you know, unfortunately it won't be maybe Slavica who'll get the blame. It'll be the people at the top again, that they haven't organised things correctly. They haven't done things correctly. I know it sounds a bit unfair, but that's the way I see it going, really.
No,
Khan is certainly perceived to be, you know, a novice at this, naive. And, you know, and also I think his son is now getting the same thing levelled at him, that it's great having these statistics on these analytics, but does he actually know anything about the actual history and tradition of Fulham, about how to run a club in England, a football team in England, about the nuances of the league, the championship? Because each league has, I suppose, its own slightly different identity and everything. And, you know, the Premier League, obviously, we know we've been in the Premier League, but the Championship is quite a different kettle of fish, really. You know, there isn't, unfortunately, as we found out to our cost, there isn't any guarantee that coming down from the Premier League makes you a good team in the Championship. It certainly doesn't. We've proved that.
Yeah.
And other teams have done the same as well. They've gone into freefall. We've seen it with Wolves. We saw it with Man City even at one stage. And, of course, teams like Leeds have had a tough time. Portsmouth had a very, very tough time. So, you know, I think there's still a big gap between, you know, the owner and the actual team. And, you know, Mike Rigg's job is in there to try and bridge those gaps and to turn Shahid Khan's enthusiasm and financial backing into practical results.
Right.
There's not really much to say yet that he's done that. The appointment of Jukanovic certainly seems to be the step in the right direction. And if that was, you know, something that Rigg actually was in favour of and wanted and drove through the club, then ultimately Rigg will get his plaudits as well, I think.
Right.
But until...
Right, David, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, but until the results and the performances, you know, appear consistently, I don't think there's going to be that much love for the people upstairs.
Oh, and David, honestly, I understand that. That's why I wanted to bring up, I think, holding on to these players, Slavica, Rigg, and Khan deserves some credit, because Khan backed Slavica Rigg and Khan backed Slavica, and they did not sell these players, and I think that was huge. Obviously, there's all kinds of things with Dembele. There are nuances to it, but ultimately they did not sell him. They did right by Fulham Football Club, I think, by holding on to both of these players to make sure that they were with Fulham until the end of the season. I think they did the right thing. But I think ultimately this is about Slavica. I think they backed Slavica. I think it works hand in hand. They backed Slavica. That, to me, is the one thing that stands out, that ultimately, David, it is about winning. They need to win. And if they start winning, if we start progressing, then credit will be given when it's due. But I do understand, I want to stress this, I understand why fans are upset, are angry at ownership. I get that. I totally understand that. What I was just talking about was the end of the window. Was the end of the window, did they do the right thing? I think everyone involved, Slavica, Rigg, Alistair McIntosh, and Mr. Khan, ultimately did the right thing by holding on to these players. So I just wanted to give them a little due. But I understand that there's so much more work to be done before we give them too much credit, because we are where we are. It's a start. We're starting over. And I think Slavica is a big part of that, David. But that's going to lead me to talk about this article. I really want to go into more detail talking about this article. We don't have enough time. But I will just tell you quickly, you know, again, I'm just going to tell you the title of the article, because that basically sets the whole thing off. This is an article by Sam Wallace in the Telegraph. It's entitled "Forget Moneyball: Fulmer are taking football manager approach in hope of returning to big time." And the article, and I know most fans have probably read it, involves an American analyst named Craig Klein that was brought in by Tony Khan to basically come up with a statistical model to help Fulham with finding players and through statistical analysis. And David, again, we don't have enough time to really get in the nuts and bolts of this, but I just want to go right to the quote from Sarah, because that to me is something that we do need to discuss, because I understand why fans are upset by this article talking about stats. And for me, David, the article takes a turn when you talk and you see the quotes from Sarah, and I'm just looking for them, and here they are. I'm just going to read them to you, because they kind of, I guess you could say, they changed the whole thing for me. And this is from the article. In a statement to Telegraph Sport, Fulham spokeswoman Sarah Brooks, on behalf of Shah Khan, said that Klein, this is Craig Klein, does not have the power of veto over anything, and the scouts do not report to Craig. Brooks said, so Visa determines positions, potential players that he is interested in, and they, with additional suggestions, if applicable, are presented to him with input reflecting stats, financial and scouting, then Slavisa, no one else, has a decision from that point on. And David, when I read that, that told me, maybe I'm reading too much between the lines, I think you read the same thing. It sounds like to me that Slavisa Jokanović has final say over players coming into Fulham. Did you read it that way? And does that give you assurance or make you feel better about the situation with the stats being a tool? Because I read this article as the stats being a tool, not being the only thing that determines players coming in. The most important thing is that Slavisa, I believe, has final say.
No, I think that was the implication, certainly, that this was just one part of what they were using to identify targets. I'm not sure if that was said because it's the truth or if it was said to kind of placate the situation. Because I think the Fulham fans' horror was that there's some guy somewhere in the world sitting in a box looking at a computer saying, yeah, we'll have him, we won't have him, without any, continuity or any marrying up with anything else that might be going on in regards of coaching, in regards of, and I've seen people putting a lot of examples, good examples, about, it's not just about how good someone is at football or even how well they fit into our team and the plan, but, if they're coming from abroad, will they settle in England? Will their family settle in England? Well, we've seen that with people. We've had players who've been quite good players for us but haven't been able to settle in England. And there's just so much more to it than just the raw statistics about whether a player is good or not. I mean, you don't have to be sitting there with a fancy computer program. You can just switch on your PlayStation 4 and load up FIFA. And sorry, just in terms of fairness, obviously your Xbox One as well. Just
sure.
So we don't get into one of these Apple stroke Google debates again. But yeah,
we're going to do that again, David. Okay.
No, we're not having app. We're not going to argue about Apple or Android or whatever. but you can load up your PlayStation or your Xbox, put in FIFA,
yep.
latest, FIFA game, FIFA 16 or whatever, and any player literally now in the world, really, or any player who's playing in any reasonable league, you can look at their stats on these things. You don't have to have some fancy software, and
right.
And you can straight away, you can cast your own impression about someone. You can just look at these figures, how good they are at heading, their pace, anything really about them, and you can start to make a judgment. But, it's a very dangerous scenario, very, very dangerous. And I've had it, you know, my boys will if someone's coming to Fulham perhaps, my boys will say, oh, well, he's no good, he's rubbish, or he's good, or, you know, he's too slow, he hasn't got any pace. And just because they're looking at this data that's available, and there's so much data available about players now, we can all
do it.
Oh,
there is, David.
You know, and this is obviously a question for another day. But what
it is
it about
is, David.
Their system?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it about their system that is so great that it's going to, you know, revolutionise things? You know, haven't all the clubs got that? You know, can't the big clubs afford something even better than that to identify targets? Who knows? But I think it's
great.
Certainly something that we need Mike Gregg here for, because he's kind of our analytics man on the show, I think, really. The most
he uses a lot of stats.
And, yeah.
No, he is. That's why I want to do a full show about this. But I just wanted to talk about this briefly, because when this article came out, I said read this because I found it interesting. The one big thing for me, I'm not a proponent of Moneyball. Moneyball is doing everything based on stats. It started with the Oakland A's in baseball, so I'm very familiar with the Moneyball concept. Everything that they did was based on stats. I think that's the wrong way to go. If Fulham went that direction, I'd be completely 100% against it. I don't think it's the right way to go, because you need to be looking at the entire picture. If it's just a piece of the puzzle and Savisa has final say, David, and he says, you know what, stats are nice, but I don't want this player. If he has final say, that's great. I don't mind it being presented, but it should not be the number one factor in deciding a player. It should just be a tool. If it's just a tool, I'm okay. If it's more than a tool, I'm definitely not okay. Fulham should not become a money ball team. Definitely not. I'm completely against that. But if you're using it as just another way to help Slavisa, I'm for it, David. Does that make sense?
No, certainly. And I agree with you completely on that as well.
Okay, very good. David, listen, this has been a great show. We will go. We'll delve in much deeper. We need Mike for this. We definitely need Mike for this, because we could do a full show talking about that article, and I really do, because there are so many different ways we could take it. We will do a full show talking about the article from the Telegraph. But Dave, we only have about 2 minutes left, and I just want to thank you for doing the show with me. It really was wonderful to do with you. Thank you.
No, thanks. Thanks for inviting me to share this with you. There's been a few interesting things. I think, obviously, the shock really is the return of Fernando Amorebieta that we had while we've been live on air. But
yeah, we broke it on the show, which was fun. We broke it on the show.
Yeah, yeah, that was a real shock. There was nothing sort of shocking otherwise as incoming or outgoing, really, I suppose. Everything was fairly expected, you know, to lose Rosa, to lose Bodder off on loan as well. But yeah, I think it's been a very interesting thing, and it's going to be fascinating to see if these, you know, new guys all get straight into the team and how they figure, because, you know, to change maybe three people in a team in one match is a big change. It's quite an upset for a team, really, to have three new players in at once. So it'd be interesting to see whether they all go in or whether they're phased in gently.
Listen, I am excited to see what Fulham look like against Derby County. We'll be previewing that match on Friday. Cannot wait, David. I'm now excited for this next match, because I really want to see if all these players are going to be a part of it, maybe one, two, or potentially all of them. It would be interesting to see if they all are involved against Derby County. Again, David, we only have a minute left. Major thank you to you. You are fantastic for the full 90 minutes doing this January Transfer Window special. Just I cannot thank you enough. My friend, you were fantastic tonight.
That's very kind of you to say so, Russ. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to doing the next show with you whenever, whether it's Friday or next week or whatever.
Okay, fantastic, David. Well, that's it for this special show of Cottage Talk. For David Holly, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, my friend. Have a good night.
You too. Good night.
Come out of-